laptops, copy their entire contents without probable cause, review and analyze the information transported by any individual attempting to enter, re-enter, depart, pass through, or reside in the United States. That means, you know, if you fly from Poughkeepsie to Peoria, you're still subject to this crap. The Washington Post has reported that the Obama administration will largely preserve Bush-era procedures allowing the government to search without suspicion of wrongdoing the contents of a traveler's laptop, computer, cell phone, or other electronic device, although officials said new policies would expand oversight of such inspections. Yeah, that's going to work. You know, why make it hard on ourselves? This is stupid. Just end it. These are lines going in, these are queues in front of airport departure lines. How much can one, you know, unless you turn on the laptop and it says, and there's something, you know, a big bright icon on the desktop that says plans for bomb, how much is a harried federal government agent or official going to be able to learn? But, you know, just be aware that, in at least where privacy concerns like that are concerned, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. You know what I mean. So thanks for joining in on this prayer meeting Wednesday. It's the second day of September. I want to thank in particular the individuals who try to get us off to a good start on our monthly fundraising attempts. We had three or four of our regulars who subscribe or make sure that there's something there at the start of the month. And we also had some new folks chip in. And that is so sincerely appreciated, I cannot thank you enough. Again, just a reminder to folks who might be new to things, I don't do names on air unless you specifically tell me that it's okay to give your name. Because, well, you know, you just heard that privacy story. That kind of stuff matters. And so if you say, hey, you know, hey, Bob, please tell people that I did, I will. But, you know, the other beautiful part of all this is for all the people who do contribute to continue to keep the horn on the air, it's a matter of, you know, you're speaking in names of the voiceless, too, for those who cannot in their own right contribute to keep the horn on the air. And that is that's one of those stunning things that just makes every day a wonder to me. So thank you. We are far from meeting our goal. If you want to use the PayPal button, that would be great. If you don't like PayPal, there's a snail mail address there, too, at headonradionetwork.com. If you're able. If and only if you're able. And know that you have our undying thanks. A program note. Neither Guy nor I will be live tomorrow. Guy is being worked like a galley slave in ancient Rome. And I've got one of those family things coming up. Ferg's opening game of the football season, middle school football, is tomorrow. So I will be down at the football field of West Virginia Tech, West Virginia Tech. I think they gave it a new name recently. Bridgemont. Maybe if we give it a new name, people will come. It's West Virginia Tech, known lovingly as MIT, Montgomery Institute of Technology. But I'm excited about that and can't wait to see him play. So please forgive me my absence tomorrow evening. Be back on Friday. Thanks to the mods in the chat room. Thanks to the News Ninjas, Blogger. Thanks to John Fox, Peter Godbold. Keep getting well, Peter Godbold. We love you very much. Thanks to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk. We talked a little bit about this evening, didn't we? Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net and coalriverwind.org. And always, 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 Gina. It's all for you.
Show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And 15 seconds past the hour of 6 p.m. here in the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful West by God, almost level Virginia. And you know what? It's kind of nice to be back to normal. And by back to normal, well, you know what I mean. Because, hey, it's the second day of September 2009, but that's not all. It's also Wednesday, the second day of September 2009. It's hump day, baby. But it's not just hump day, not just downhill to Friday. No! 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 Perish the thought. No! It's that most special day of the broadcast week, brethren and sistren. That's right. Brethren and sistren, it's Ram Eating Wednesday. Hallelujah. Glory. I am so happy to be with you here today on this prayer meeting Wednesday, this beautiful God-given Wednesday in this sin-filled planet, foisted off upon us by an evil woman who had a conversation with a blabbermouth black mamba. A chatty cobra. Hallelujah. It's been a while since I've heard the choir sing. Mr. Choirmaster, if you do not mind, sir, please get us all warmed up.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. It's not the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ha! Hallelujah! Ha! Glory! Glory, 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 glory! Ha! Gloria est
so, Mr. Bar... the resign partes tres. In vino veritas, aber in beer ist gut gesund tat format.
I love you.
It's prayer meeting Wednesday, brethren and sistren. Come on down that blood red carpet and get on your knees here at the altar in the Cathedral of Common Sense. Lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you. I am Bishop Bob Kincaid here to deliver you, brethren and sistren, from the pernicious, vile, heretical dogmas and doctrinal misthinking of the fundamentalist, evangelical right wing. Glory! 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 And we are... we are going to have a fine prayer meeting tonight. I promise you. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. We begin prayer meeting this evening, glory, with a little trip out to Missouri, or Missouri, depending on which part of that state you come from. Either way you slice it, however, it's the show-me state, and they showed us, brethren and sistren, they showed us how devoted they are to their fundamentalist teachings. Amen and amen. Yes, brethren and sistren, I want to take you... to Smith Cotton High School. Smith Cotton High School, they're in the high cotton at Smith Cotton High School. Had a fine little marching band there. It is after all that time of the year when folks like myself are frequently called out on Friday nights to pray almighty blessings upon those heroic contests that we call high school football. And no high school football game would be righteous in the eyes of Almighty God unless it had a marching band. Sometimes when I go, they play Onward Christian Soldiers just for me. Yes, glory. They play, and sometimes they play in key, and sometimes it makes the little hairs stand up on the back of my neck. But the little heathens at the Smith Cotton High School, they thought they were going to get away with demonic influences inside of their godly school district. They had them a heathen t-shirt. The colors of black and gold. And it said Smith Cotton High School. And underneath it, it said Tiger Pride. And we all know that pride goeth before a fall. But it's what was in between Smith Cotton High School, those words, and Tiger Pride. I am not certain whether or not that tiger pride might even constitute idol worship. But brethren and sistren, hold on to your Christian moral fundamentals. Because there was a picture in the middle of that t-shirt. In the background were several band instruments. But in silhouette, carrying instruments themselves, moving from left to right, a little monkey, and a bigger monkey, and a bigger monkey, and a bigger monkey, and a bigger monkey, and a big old monkey, and another big old monkey, and finally a man. Yes! They were trying to preach the demon evolution with their t-shirts. And we all know the infinite monkeys with infinite typewriters might, so one of them might someday write Hamlet, but ain't none of them gonna play the Star-Spangled Banner, no siree.
Yeah, I wish I was kidding. I'm not. The school district stepped in after complaints by Sherry Melby, who was a parent of a band member who also teaches in the school district. She complained and she said,
I don't think evolution should be associated with our school.
Me, I'm just praying she's not a biology teacher, but, you know, I remember that story from a while back that suggests that there's about a whole bunch of thousands of biology teachers in this country who think that evolution is only a theory. Who think that evolution is not biological fact. Who nonetheless go and get their flu shots and hope the swine flu vaccine works this year. I don't know what it is that Sherry Melby teaches. I think it's just a damn shame that she teaches at all. Because she raised a stink, and the school board stepped in, and Assistant Superintendent Brad Pollitt said that the T-shirts were banned because, well, he said, well, the T-shirts don't violate the school's dress code. Well, they ain't neutral on religion. If the shirts had said brass resurrections and had a picture of Jesus on the cross, we would have done the same thing. That's what Brad Pollitt said. Never mind that. Well, you know, this is the scary part. This is, in fact, the scary part because this shows the degree to which the evangelical fundamentalist right-wing religion industry has succeeded in this country in painting the theory of evolution, which is called a theory for reasons having to do with how science treats theory versus law, as opposed to the vernacular meaning of theory. This shows the degree to which the fundamentalist evangelical right-wing religion industry has succeeded in painting science as religion. And I'm here to tell you, we're in trouble. Big trouble. Because clearly this school district thinks that evolution is not a scientific issue, but a religious one. And so if a vocal minority of evangelical fundamentalists, even one, can complain, the school can recall T-shirts. It's not that just that they banned them being worn, brothers and sisters. They recalled the T-shirts. Hey, hey, Junior. Hey, send me back the filthy heathen, the heretical hip, the T-shirt. Not kidding. Those school children aren't even allowed to wear that T-shirt in their off hours off campus. It was recalled, repossessed, seized. The message on that T-shirt was censored. And it didn't even say anything. It is the mere... Yeah, come on, everybody has seen this image, the little tiny primate progressing up toward human. I mean, there are not names over the silhouettes of the primates. You know, the littlest monkey doesn't say Dr. Falwell. But the merest possession, they seized the T-shirt. And I don't kid myself into thinking that anything different would be done were at the high school just up the road here where my daughter goes to school. I was disappointed with the image on the shirt. I don't think evolution should be associated with our school. Well, sweetheart, it's apparently not associated with you. When's the last time you flung poop, Sherry Melby? You know, I think part of what this program does, or what I attempt to do with the program, is not to bum you out. It's not to upset you. It is merely to draw back the veil, pull back the curtain, as it were, and show you the beast within. And that beast is scared. And that beast is superstitious. And that beast wants you to be scared and superstitious too. And you know what, brothers and sisters? While we have dedicated organizations like the Union of Concerned Science Scientists and the American Science Teachers Association or the American Teachers of Science, splitters, whatever they are, various organizations committed to trying to hold back the barbarian tides from dragging us back 15 centuries. No, call it more like 9 centuries. While we have good organizations, they are outmanned, outgunned, outspent. And this incremental retrograde action is succeeding. It's one great big example of the notion that all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. Because you see, when you're seizing T-shirts, when you're telling people what clothing they may and may not wear, and the clothing is otherwise unoffensive, unprovocative, you know, not it doesn't say anything written across somebody's behind, or you know what? That's the thing. If some little girl went to Smith Cotton High School wearing one of those really, really short, tight baby doll tees that looks like it was painted on and it had Jesus written across her breasts, so that every boy in the school, you know, and the eyeballs popping out of the sockets, not a word would be said to her, because she would say, "I'm being religiously persecuted in his name's sake." There's a story floating around out there that I haven't caught the denouement on yet, about a little girl who ran away at the connivance of a fundamentalist minister in Florida, a little Muslim girl from Ohio. And the little Muslim girl from Ohio became a Christian. Now she was a cheerleader, so they don't do cheering in burqas. So I'm thinking the otherwise Muslim parents couldn't have been too hardcore. You know, she wasn't screaming Allah Akbar every time she raised her hand, but she decided some fundamentalist got hold of her and sickened her mind with evil jealousism. And the child ran away to Florida to an evangelical minister's home where they hid her and wouldn't tell her terrified parents where she was. And they came out and said, well, she's converted to Christianity. We can't send her back because they'll kill her. Well, if they were going to kill her, they would have killed her for the cheerleading outfit. But that's America. That's where you are. That's where we are. Agnes and I, now that we have grandchildren, every now and then we sit and we try to imagine Loney and Jasper's world. They're 1 year old and 2 year old now, which means that theoretically, Loney would graduate from college in the class of 2029, if you can imagine that. God, I want to be around for that. And Jasper would graduate in the class of 2030. And we try to imagine their world. Imagine, if you will, 20 more years of clothing being seized. Yeah, it's one little community in Missouri, but it's also the camel's nose under the tent. And we discussed this before, that I think the origin of that phrase, the camel's nose under the tent, has to do with the fact that camels being camels, once the nose is under the tent, you're going to have hump real soon. Because they don't quit. What will this country look like in 20 years with the evangelical fundamentalists continuing in their vulgar, nasty ways? It's dominionism. More perniciously, it's reconstructionism. And it is terrifying. Does it terrify you? Or is it just something you can forget about because you don't live near Smith Cotton High School in Missouri? I don't know. And how do you fight it? Because every time you try to say something about them, they squeal. They squeal like the little pigs that they are, about how they're being persecuted when no one is persecuting them. We're merely asking them to mind their own stinking business. So, you know, that's the question. What does 2030 in the United States look like, as long as one offended mama can get t-shirts taken away from every single member of the band? That's our question for tonight, I guess. That's our Bible study question, brethren and sistren. What does the United States look like in 2030? Will we have crosses on our military uniforms? If you don't keep up with Mikey Weinstein over at the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, you're doing yourself a profound disservice. Because he keeps up with this stuff, and it's creepy what's being done to our military. and it's in our schools. They're not content to keep it in their churches, where we give them tax-exempt status and treat them like sacred cows. And no, we don't dare criticize their faith, because their special invisible friend immunizes them from ever being criticized. We don't dare do that. So if you want to engage in a little bit of philosophical discussion this prayer meeting Wednesday, let's start with that question. What does America look like after 20 more years of the ascendancy of the right-wing evangelical religion industry? You know, we may get a partial answer to that question sometime fairly soon. Because, among other things, we will have an answer to a question regarding the governor of Louisiana. If we are to be a secular society, no state should tolerate its elected officials using state funds and state resources and state property to advance his own personal religious agenda. And that is exactly what Louisiana Governor Piyush Jindal has done. It has been documented now by The Advocate in Louisiana that the taxpayers of that state, that sad, sad state so tormented for lo these last 4 years by the after effects of Hurricane Katrina, where services have been rendered damn near meaningless, as Kate noted in her email last night. The state taxpayers of Louisiana, according to The Advocate, well, let me just read what The Advocate has to say. In May and June and July, there was rarely a Sunday when the governor didn't board a taxpayer-funded helicopter to attend church services in far-flung parts of the state. He traveled by helicopter to churches less frequently in March and April. Over 5 months, Piyush Jindal took more than 36 helicopter trips. 14 were to attend church services, according to state records. He was usually attended and accompanied by no less than 2 aides, as well as his security detail and state police pilots. All of those salaries are public salaries as well, not to mention the fuel and the upkeep of the chopper. And just in case you're wondering what that kind of money is, it costs $1,300 or $1,200 an hour to operate that helicopter. It was about $45,000 for 5 months of church visits for Piyush Jindal. How in the world is that not illegal? You know, I want to be fair about this, because I do respect religious freedoms. And I do respect people who want to be in church every Sunday. And you know what? If you're the governor of Louisiana and you got to be at mass or church or whatever you call it on Sunday morning, I want you to be there. Your church. And you're the governor of Louisiana, and, you know, you've got a security detail, and they have to go with you everywhere you go. You know what? If you get in the limo and you go over to Our Lady of Perpetual Paranoia or whatever, and you get your magic cracker and you hear some words mumbled and it makes you feel better, good on you, governor. Go do it. Fine by me. Me, I worship what passes for a deity in my mind by getting a little extra sleep on Sunday mornings. because it is, after all, last I checked, the book that those folks are so darn fond of, a day of rest. But there's a big difference between getting in the state limo and being taken to church on Sunday and getting in the state helicopter and being flown to far-flung corners of Louisiana for purposes of politics and a little bit from the pulpit. And remember, of course, that Piyush Jindal isn't just some cafeteria Christian. This is a guy who has bragged. This is a guy who has bragged about having participated in exorcisms. Complete right down to, you know, they held a young woman down against her will, that kind of exorcism. So don't think that there's just a little, what a friend we have in Jesus, and a little dinner on the ground, and so, you know. When they have dinner on the ground in Louisiana, I'll be honest, it's somewhere you want to be, because they're going to be some good eating. Never take anything away from the fine ladies of the church whooping up a meal. But that's not the point. Now, for those of you who would like to see Piyush Jindal's political career come to a screeching halt before he can perform an exorcism on the nation by way of presidential ambitions, you know, Jindal Palin 2012, Palin Jindal 2012, perfect storm, woman, brown guy. Yeah. I'd like to remind Governor Jindal of the cautionary tale of one Guy Hunt. Guy Hunt was a primitive Baptist minister from Holly Pond, Alabama, who parlayed trips to churches and his status as an itinerant evangelist into becoming the first Repig-Lickin' governor of Alabama since Reconstruction. And the downhill slide has proceeded ever since, if one can ever argue that there was an uphill march in Alabama. Guy Hunt, man of God, governor, saw nothing wrong with jumping on the state's jet, along with his entourage, and flying off all over creation to go to tent meetings. The only problem was that it was a blatant violation of federal law. Not violation of church and state, federal law. And Guy Hunt got himself some club fed time out of it. This is back when there was at least a passing honest U.S. attorney in the state of Alabama somewhere. I don't know if there is such a committed and ethical U.S. attorney in Louisiana. It remains to be seen. But the law that was used to convict Guy Hunt in Alabama, one would think would damned well, because it's no different, would damned well apply to Piyush Jindal. Doesn't it? And there is a bit of an update, but I hate to keep people waiting for much longer. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Gene.
Do you mind if I... switch out of religion for a minute. I promise I'll bring it back.
Okay. You just go anywhere you want to.
No, I'm kind of pissed about this this idea of Obama dropping the public option on the health care. And yet I need some help here, because I was really angry, and you can tell I'm still pretty...
Yeah. Bent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was so... Obama. Why am I?
You okay, Gene?
Yes.
Okay, just...
Sorry, I'll call you back.
Oh, that's okay. Just take...
No, I got no.
No, take a deep breath. It's okay.
It's
okay.
Fine. But here's the thing. I was really impressed, and of course I read the political story. So of course it's political. So I kind of take it with a grain of salt anyway. And really, the real option you want is single parent anyway. So why am I getting up Tyler? But on the other hand, it's like you're giving in to these guys. You're making this incrementalism, like you talked about the religion bit. And it's like I was so pissed, and it's like I kind of like God, if they're gonna call us socialists, let's go ahead and just fine, I'll take the name, and you know, whatever we do, they're gonna just.
Yeah, they got. You're right. I see where you're going, and I don't know why Barack Obama does not understand this.
Yeah.
That there is no right action where they are concerned because they want to destroy him.
Yeah, and I the only thing I can come up with that would keep me real stupid.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, this is your world that they're messing with, these godless right-wing repiglets.
But anyway, the only thing I come with is basically you have to attack, like they've done with us. They've attacked our institutions. I mean, even if it's whether it's putting the cable up where you have to pay for all the liberal code programming or whatever, it's always costing things, and it just drives me nuts. And on the one hand, I think, How do you create liberal institutions that can work
Gene, if it's any comfort, please understand that this is the nature of the march of human existence.
That little
image on that Smith Cotton High School T-shirt of the little monkey all the way up to the fully formed human. That's an interesting concept, but the fact of the matter is, if you wanted to show it the way it really is,
it wouldn't be like that. I get that.
No. Well, just wait with me, because I think this is going to make sense to you.
Okay.
If you showed that the way it really is, the last little monkey would be grabbing onto the leg of the monkey in front of him and trying to drag him backwards, and the monkey in front of him would be grabbing onto the monkey in front of him and trying to drag him backwards, and on and on up to the human being who's got the proto-human hanging on his leg trying to drag him backwards. The steady march of human progress, Gene, is always a struggle to go forward because of what the religion industry has always done, and all religions throughout history have always done, is to keep people mired in superstition and suspicion and fear and authoritarianism, and to try to hold back humanity from getting any better, because the most fearful people on earth are the people who fear the loss of their own power and influence, and there are none who fear that more than the people inside established religion.
Okay, but my point being is, when are we gonna, and you alluded to it earlier, when are we gonna just, why aren't we attacking their institutions? And I don't mean violently attack them. I just mean, you know, we let them,
because there is an element among us, Gene, of those who, how can I best explain this? There's an element among us, and by us I mean liberals, who's, oh no, we can't fight back like that. That wouldn't be nice. Why don't we send some emails and do some phone banking, and when we're done, we'll all have coffee, and we'll sing Kumbaya a lot, and that'll show them that we really, really mean business, and that we don't mean to hurt them or anything.
I'm sorry, but fuck that.
Gene, I will give you an F word now and then, and I think you earned that one.
I'm sorry, but I just it drives me. I just was. It's, oh man. I mean, I read that, and there's been a few other things about, oh, gosh, I think I've sent you the thing about the culture war thing on Buzzsplash. I think I sent that to you last night.
Yeah.
And things about, you know, trying to whether or not to go on having the Democratic Party go on without unions and stuff like that. And it's like, what are you, you're being so stupid. And I'll bring it back to religion now in the sense of, now, I was always raised that the beast or the Antichrist comes out of the church, right?
Yeah.
So, where is that in the Bible?
Don't think it is.
Okay, but you see, the thing of it is, I was thinking about...
But then again, wait, please, Gene, because 99% of the stuff that is put out there about the so-called Antichrist doesn't come out of the Bible. It was Peter Godbold who first pointed out that in 1st, 2nd, or 3rd Peter, ironically enough, there are reference to Antichrists.
Yeah, there are.
Multiple Antichrists. And it's those people who are opposed to the saving grace of.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree with that. But it kills me because I look at all the stuff that they do, and I know this has gone over and over before, but, you know, if you look at this thing and you, because I think about, because I've got Baptists in my family, so I know the spiel. So it's kind of like, you know, if you're left of center anywhere, you're a commie, you're one of those, you're Gog.
And yeah, some Gog, yeah, you know? Some sort of dirty so and so. Sure.
And,
yeah.
And the thing of it is, if you, because they always take the idea that they're the Christian, they're the one on the side of right. But if you took that out and basically replaced, I mean, if you flipped it around, so that what they're doing, I mean, you can make the argument that, yeah, maybe they're technically correct about Revelations, but, you know, I would...
No, they're not even technically correct about Revelations. That's the whole thing. They're not even a little bit correct about Revelations. Revelations was a political tract written by a madman.
But what I'm saying is, basically, you know, when they go through and they spout all this crap, I mean, because there are so many of them, that, you know, the old term, perception is reality. So they kind of, you know, whether it's right or not, enough of them believe it, that it kind of de facto, you know, looks like it.
That it gained, right. Well, that's a manifestation of the old Hitlerian theory of the big lie. If you tell a lie often enough and loudly enough and frequently enough and broadly enough, it will eventually become the truth.
But the point I'm saying is basically if there any, you know, I would think, you know, good espousing evangelical Christians, the first place they'd want to look is getting back the idea that the Antichrist or the beast comes out of the church. The first place they'd want to look is to their own institutions to see what the heck they're doing. And if they're not going to do that, then kind of, I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is, where do we put our energies? I mean, we put all the, you know, we lobby Congress and all this jazz, and now you hear stuff like this with Barack Obama wanting to abandon the public option. Maybe we should just, you know.
Well, but you see, I don't think Barack Obama would be able to send rumblings like that out there if there was a big enough community of the other kind of Christians making a big stink about the fact that the public option and, in fact, single-payer health care is the sole, the only alternative out there that is actually wholly in line with the teachings of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer.
I don't disagree with you, but see, the point I'm trying to make is because those people that would be there, the reason they're not there is because, like you've said before, they're busy just trying to get by. I mean, they're so damn poor. I mean, I just sent you something about Americans going to Mexico for the health care.
Mm-hmm.
For about $250 a year, they get unlimited blah, 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 whatever, unlimited x-rays and all that jazz. And it's like, so it has to kind of, I think what we have to do, unfortunately, is somehow, and I don't mean violently, but somehow find a way to attack those institutions the right.
Well, you know, you know what? I mean, this is just broad brush stuff, Gene, but you know what the starting point with all of that is to vigorously enforce the IRS code. And the minute that 10 cents worth of politics comes out of some dirty preacher's mouth, we yank his 501c3 status and drop, marginal tax rates on his collections.
Yeah, okay. You know, that's something I hadn't considered. I'll be honest, didn't you? Have to go through the government for that, but I mean, I was trying to think this out, and how do I do this without doing something really stupid like sending away for that FARC training manual through correspondence school or something like that. So I.
He's kidding, Agent Fred. He's kidding.
Yes, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I swear, I'm not going to do that. Anyway. But I was so pissed off, and I'm sorry for being upset. But I read that this morning, and was like, anyway,
just makes you want to bark at the moon, doesn't it?
Oh, either that or move to Mexico or Canada, somewhere.
How's your Spanish?
Fair. I was thinking, you asked about what the United States is going to look like in 20 years, Well, if your grandkids are going to have college degrees, they're probably going to get them from Canada. Or
well, and that's the fundamental flaw in my initial premise was that I live in a fantasy world where Loney and Jasper get to go to college.
I thought about that too, but you know, I mean, we'd like to think, you know. I mean, is that a fan? I'd hate to say.
Well, you know what? It wouldn't be a bad idea. Look, there are a lot of people out there that have never set foot inside a college that are making real good money and have good lives for themselves,
yeah.
And largely those people are members of unions.
Yeah.
But that's the next question. Will unions survive? There's a story out there today about how Rich Trumka of the AFL-CIO has drawn a line in the sand, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
about health care.
Yeah,
but the question is there enough left of organized labor now to make it matter whether or not organized labor draws said line in the sand?
Well, I don't know. All I can remember is, as I understood my high school history, our founding fathers basically kind of set the idea up, at least in my mind, that basically if government doesn't provide the services for its people, these people shouldn't have to, you know, might want to consider changing government. But I don't want to sound too much like,
yeah, pick one.
Yeah. So anyway, and it's sad that the idea of your grandkids going to college should be considered a fantasy at all.
Well, hey, look, let me be brutally honest. Under the circumstances that they now exist, I mean, you know, the world that Agnes and I live in, we pour everything we have into making this go. And frankly, it's not there is a greater likelihood that my children, our children, will not go to college than that they will. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's what makes us teaching for all we're worth so much more important.
I know. Anyway,
that's the kind of thing, Gene, that makes me sit bolt upright in the middle of the night with a sweat on my forehead.
I can see why. I mean, gosh, I mean, nobody lives forever, thank goodness. Anyway, I had to call in because I was mad. And like I say, I'm sorry for getting upset. I just...
Well, don't apologize, Gene.
Okay.
You've got a big old stake in this operation, and you do a hell of a lot to make it go. When something's burning you up, we want to know, Gene.
Okay, well, you'll hear me, and I'll try to get... I hate the fact, you know, it's like, well, I wish I could just turn all that rage into something productive instead of, you know...
Yeah,
anyway,
I do.
I'll let you go. I'm sure there are plenty of other people to call in. So I'll be listening, so take it easy.
All right. Take care, Gene.
Sure, sure.
Bye now.
Bye.
News Ninja Gene, justifiably upset. If there's not a public option, will it be safe to say that we have been hung out to dry? I saw a story the other day that indicated that one of the... Oh, who was the guy that was really, really good at predicting electoral votes, 358.com or whatever it was? That guy is saying that the Republicans have anywhere from a 25 to 33% chance of retaking the majority in the House in 2010. And let me get on record right now. I'm going right back to the phone. Swear I am. You want to call in? You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on, 304-658-3333. God, I do that way too fast for new listeners. 877-443-2366 or 304-658-3333. Let me go on record right now and say this, that I will not be tolerant of any hand-wringing whatsoever on the part of the leadership of the so-called leadership of the Democratic Party if on the morning after the election in November 2010 they find themselves fresh out of a majority and Nancy Pelosi finds herself being the incoming minority leader in the House. Or Harry Reid looks at going back to being the minority leader in the Senate. Okay? I'll put up with none of that. I will tolerate none of that. I will have no tolerance for it whatsoever, because I'm going on record right now as saying it would not surprise me 10 cents worth to find that to be the case on the day after the election in 2010. Because right now the Democratic Party, by its own conduct, is making that more and more a certainty and a likelihood by not doing the bold things that they were sent there to do, and instead trying to triangulate and play politics and footsie and go along and get along with a bunch of obstructionist thugs who excuse me. Well, that kind of ruined that. Who seek nothing but their political destruction. Why is it so easy for you and I out here who aren't in the halls of Congress to look at the Republican Party and say, listen, that Country First was nothing but advertising BS by McCain and Palin. It's the Republican Party. It is always, always, always party first with them. And the whole blessed country can go up in flames if the Republican Party thinks that there is some political advantage to be had from it. Meanwhile, somewhere in Washington, D.C. right now, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is probably telling someone, well, you know, we need to work with Senator Grassley and Senator Enzi. God! Somebody give that man an umbrella and a bowler hat! You know what I'm referring to. Back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yeah, you need to. The funnier thing would be to let's work together with Representative Bachman.
Hey, they'll work with anybody.
It doesn't get any wilder than that. You see, I really, before we get too much farther here, I've got to call you out on this again. Of course you do this. You have gotten everyone upset, and we are thinking about shooting the messenger, and you do this all the time.
Is this the part where I need to duck?
Well, we were all having a really good time, and then the...
I came in and peed on the party, yes.
And Cade's show came on the air again, which we never miss. I suppose we love the theme music to it. Everybody runs in from whatever they were doing. I don't know exactly what that was, but hey, I'm here to tell you we are in trouble. But I don't think we're in trouble because of these goofball creationists. I think we're in trouble for precisely what you think, that they'll blow it and they won't. We voted for change. We voted for progressives. And they'll they won't pay any attention to us, and the Republicans will just say, see, you had no mandate. See, you misread the American people. And no, they didn't. They just ignored us.
Yeah, the American people are out there screaming in the streets. Yeah, look, Reverbo, there are good, committed, liberal, decent human beings, progressives, Democrats, whatever you want to call us, who actually have the guts to go to these town hall meetings and unarmed, face down, stare down right-wing thugs with machine guns. And we do that for our country.
It doesn't count, I guess.
I mean, I did it again, I'm sorry. But does that make you want to scream?
It does make me want to scream or go bowling, and I can't ever tell which one. But
I'm hanging on to that one.
Yeah, you should. I don't know when you'll use it. Well, next time you're out with Biden, I'm sure you guys are going to get... talk to him about this.
Dang it, Joe, you're making me so mad I don't know whether to scream or go bowling.
Well, you know... He's probably used it himself. Here's how we're going to process all of this. We're going to go to a little headline today that is going to lead us down this road again. And the headline is Pfizer agrees to pay $2.3 billion criminal and civil fine. You see this?
No.
Pfizer, this is a constant and repeated pattern of violations. By the way, another corporation that is too big to fail.
Right, sure.
Yeah, this is just another violation of their covert prescription drug manipulation that they do. They wine and dine the doctors and the hookers and the crab cakes and all of it.
Crab cakes.
Oh yeah, and they got caught again. And imagine if $2.3 billion is just a cost of doing business for you. I mean, that's not even a disincentive to the behavior for them.
Anyway. You bring up the definition, and I'm sure you know it as well or better than I do, of punitive damages. You remember when the Supreme Court came in and lifted those from Exxon? And said, well, I mean, you know, punitive. I mean, this is punishing the company. We can't. Well, damn it. Punitive, damn it. It comes from the Latin root for the word punish.
Oh, yeah. When you're dealing with, in the healthcare business, I mean, we really are at their mercy. I don't know what drug to prescribe for myself. So, but the sick part about this, by the way, Pfizer is at the moment scheduled to.
Ask your doctor about Focusin.
Oh, God. It's just repeated violations. What they said, by the way, it's not just a fine, Bob. Now they're going to keep a little closer eye on them.
Oh, well, I'm feeling better.
Aren't you?
See, I need you to be this little ray of sunshine in the program, Reverbo.
I can see the smiles busting out all over. Correct me if I'm wrong, but don't doctors make a little bit more money than you and me?
Smidgen.
So... we're back to the you can't cheat an honest man thing. What could possibly they offer a doctor that the doctor couldn't acquire for themselves? Yeah, well, no, it's a rhetorical question, I suppose.
But, prestige, intangibles.
I don't know. Maybe they...
No, seriously.
What could it be?
Well, there was a drug out there. It's an anti-seizure medication that was used for 16 different other things, including hair loss. I don't know. But Neurontin, okay?
It's a nerve... painkiller or something, isn't it?
Well, it's anti-seizure. It's got pretty profound brain chemistry effects. But maybe it wasn't Neurontin. I don't know. But anyway, whatever it was, there was a drug company several years back that was sending, you know, the little, while you're sitting there reading the three-year-old magazine in the doctor's office, and the guy, or usually the beautiful young woman in the Chanel suit with the black sample case, immaculately coiffed and made up on probably wearing a pair of shoes that cost your monthly income, comes breezing through up to the reception desk, and the receptionist, while you've been sitting there for 3 hours, says, "Go right through."
Oh, God.
Well,
yeah.
What the drug companies were doing with her, or the guy in the Armani suit, was they were offering what they were calling fellowships, Reverbo, to doctors. And it was like green stamps. If you had written X numbers of prescriptions for this particular drug, and I want to say it's Neurontin, although I'm not sure. It may not be. But if you'd written X number of prescriptions for this, you would be asked to come and be a speaking fellow at a week-long conference in the Bahamas.
Possibly.
And your speaking engagement would be something on the order of 15 minutes on Tuesday, with your free time from Saturday to Thursday.
With Susie, the drug rep, also. I'm sure.
Probably. It's like the reverse of that little thing where you fill out the blank at the Stuckey's to win a free Florida vacation, and then you have to go and listen to, you know, it's a 7-day for all expenses paid Florida vacation, and you have to listen to 6 days and 23 hours and 59 minutes and 59 seconds of real estate sales pitching.
Timeshare, fascinating timeshare info by that guy in a bad sport coat. Yeah.
Right. Yes. It's the exact opposite of that. And of course, the influence on the doctors was, you know, well, Jesus, you know, if I get Bahamas for writing X scripts, she done told me I get Tahiti for writing 2X. And the next thing you know, you're in that, you know, it's pharmaceutical Amway.
There's laws against this, though.
There are. If you get caught.
They busted Pfizer again. It was this word again. Repeated violations. And that's when I just thought, well, that's just the cost of doing business for them, man. $2 billion fine.
And that's because the fines themselves are not substantial enough to get the corporations attention. And I think the argument to be made, Reverbo, where I think you and I are both going, and has been, it's a place that I think Brother Albert has also gone, is we need a corporate death penalty.
Well, we sort of had one once, and then people like Rockefeller and others, they talked the state of Delaware into just ignoring it. I mean, there used to be rules and regulations about how corporations behaved. Well, what an idiot I am. There used to be rules and regulations about how everybody behaved.
It's true enough.
Corporations didn't used to be people, for that matter. Now they are. It's absurd. But yes, the corporate death penalty, you're no longer licensed to do business in my state. Goodbye.
Right, and I'm sorry, stockholders, but you backed a welcome to risk in the market. You backed a bad horse. You backed a scofflaw. You backed a corporate felon. We're sorry you didn't do a good enough job of putting a board in there that would, you know, do the right thing.
I'm sorry, corporate felon. I get these great images in my mind of the CEO of Pfizer in one of those orange suits with those little. They're made of metal. They keep your hands. It makes it so you can't move your hands.
Yeah, they're called manacles.
Yeah, I get that image.
Shackles.
But I guess that's...
And the orange plastic shower shoes.
I guess that's not going to be happening here.
No. Didn't happen for Chiquita Banana. Ain't going to happen for Pfizer. Didn't happen for Massey Energy. Ain't going to happen for Pfizer. I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, the poster child example for what you're talking about, Reverbo, is Massey Energy. Massey Energy had a massive fine facing it. And they negotiated it with the Bush administration downward to maybe $20 million. That's how massive the fine was. I mean, it was like billions.
Yeah.
or potentially hundreds of millions. I forget the exact totals. But they negotiated it downward to something manageable like $20 million. The Bush administration agreed, and then the Obama administration came in and agreed again. And the agreement that was struck, and this is the fun part, Reverbo, do you remember this? I think we talked about this before. Massey Energy was allowed to pay its fines, Flintstones-like, in rock. I wish I was lying to you.
They paid it off in coal?
No, rock.
Rock. I wish you were lying to me, too. I'm getting very scared now.
Yeah, Mr. Slate down at the... Wilma, Mr. Slate down at the quarry's giving us 20 million rocks.
That's great, Fred.
See, you don't.
But it's not funny when Fred's the president of the United States.
Oh, it does. You don't know whether to die or go bowling, do you? By the way, what the hell's up with Duke Energy?
Well, you know, I was gonna get to that because there's this beautiful dichotomy out there right now.
Well, we haven't even gone to healthcare with Pfizer yet. But anyway,
no.
Did you see that thing I sent?
Yeah,
you?
Duke Energy says they're dropping out of the American Citizens for Clean Coal Energy Solutions.
Well, it's a PR group, but it's a Blanger Boy Blankenship is a big part of the group.
Oh yes, he is. And but then again, we don't know whether there's always a bait and switch. ACCES is pretty much a dead letter now. The question is, is Duke Energy now a member of FACES? But I'm going to assume that they're not, and they did the right thing, but they're still building a massive coal-fired power plant that nobody but Duke Energy and its corporate hacks, flacks, and cronies wants in North Carolina. But just giving them credit for a moment, Reverbo, for getting it right, let's take the other side of the spectrum and Verizon.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, Verizon. Verizon, among other things, they pulled their advertising from Glenn Beck.
Sweet.
Because he's so nasty. Verizon has this statement about how committed they are to an environmental consciousness and environmental ethics and blah, 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 blah. Verizon Wireless and Verizon in general are a proud sponsor of the Friends of America rally coming up this Saturday in Logan, at which 25,000 screaming colistas are going to be whipped into a murderous, bloodthirsty frenzy to come get rid of them tree huggers. This is the one I've talked about where Ted Nugent and Sean Hannity and that goofy-ass band from West Virginia are going to be playing. And I mentioned this on John Fox's show Sunday night. The West Virginia band that's going to be playing is called Taylor Made. And you know there's been violence here in the coal fields of West Virginia this summer. Judy Bonds, Goldman Award winner, you know, the so-called environmental Nobel, she was physically punched by a woman who wanted to show her support for coal. Okay, you saw the video from Cayford Mountain with the skinhead with the tribal tattoos on his neck, sitting there saying he would slit the throats of a man and his child.
Oh yeah.
There are posters around here that say "Save a miner, hang a tree hugger." Message boards that say message boards with a guy called Super Hippie Slayer. Who people who say kill a tree hugger a day and soon they go away.
Your poet's all right.
Yeah. Well, guess what? The guy who fronts this West Virginia group that's going to be playing at the Friends of America rally is a sergeant in the West Virginia State Police. Now, maybe at a distance, that doesn't make your gut do a belly flop, but it does make mine here.
Oh, it does.
Because I never, because if that is allowed to go on, then I never know when the cruiser, the roller behind me in blue and gold with the bar across the top and all the armament inside the trunk, I never know when that guy is gonna get riled, thinking I'm a tree hugger.
Yeah, conflict of interest never seems to. It only they like to think it only works one way. You never know. You're gonna the worst, absolute worst thing in the world is when you got a bad sheriff. I mean, there's nothing worse, and I'm using that phrase. You know exactly what I mean.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, I mean, I think of the Gene. I think of the Gene Hackman character from Unforgiven.
Well, I'm just thinking about what Bush did to the whole justice system with the U.S. attorneys, and you just politicized the whole Justice Department. I mean, there's nothing worse. People, if you cannot trust, you know, to keep, well, now we're starting to get upset again. God. It is just
and this one's your fault.
Another. Well, I don't know. I saw that thing about Duke Energy, and I thought, look, you know, there's nothing new. These giant corporations, they always give to both sides anyway. They give, if I give a buck to the Republicans, they'll give a buck to the Democrats.
Yeah, it's called bet hedging.
Yeah, you know, and then a lot of people suddenly started to put out their PR literature in green ink. We're suddenly very environmentally conscious and all this BS. However, I do hope, like you, that at some point there'll be a significant, effort by a company here or there to, like, you know, see the light. Get off the coal train and get with the sunshine here. So I don't know what Duke's Energy is doing. I don't trust them, but something about supporting the climate change bills that they intend to support them.
Yeah, well, that's because they know that they're going to get rich on it.
Well, there's money in this. I think that's fine. I mean, there's always money in it. It's a little hard.
Well, the welfare alone for carbon capture and storage is $60 billion, and that's only a small percentage of all the coal welfare in the whole bill.
I wasn't thinking so much about coal as I was just you know, the whole idea of clean and the whole what people have been talking about since the 60s. Well, what we should have, the future we should already have had. Is what I'm talking about, and if people can make money with that, that's fine.
Oh no! That's the way you're going to get a green economy, is by making American business see that it's very, very profitable.
Sure, but this idea that Don Blankenship and his friends are going to actively lobby against something about lobbying against green jobs. No, we only want black jobs. I mean, I couldn't even understand how they're going to sell that.
Right, well, because they're strict dichotomists. The coal industry refuses to live in the world with the rest of us normal people. It's their way or the highway.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh, it does. It does. Well, here, let's see if we can work that into health care here, and then we can wrap that part up. I mean, that's just one thing after another. Okay, so let's see. Well, we'll get we will get sick, of course. Continue to get sick if we blow coal out of the earth. We will make everybody sick.
Right, right.
And then we will have and so let's fast forward or rewind to the latest bunch of screamers at the at a random healthcare town hall, where these people are just screaming about the government taking over their health care. We don't want the government taking over our health care. And I'm sorry, what health care is that? Is it the health care that's sponsored by Pfizer? Is it that health care? That fantastic, that progressive model of medical insurance? Is it that health, the health care that's like our Senate? The Senate. Brought to you by Travelers Insurance, ExxonMobil,
Aetna,
Pfizer. Yeah, I mean, is that the one they want us to? Is that what they're screaming about?
Basically,
I don't even. It's absurd. I mean, I, 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 you know, no one, nowhere have I ever read that if you want to spend every last dime, if you want to still do this, you're hell-bent on spending every last dime of your life savings and your inheritance to your children on trying to get that brain transplant, or in Michelle Bachman's case, trying to get that, yes, swapping her brain out.
Brain implant?
For an armadillo brain in hopes of becoming smarter. But if you want to do that, you can do that. I mean, the universal health care does not prevent you from doing that.
No, it doesn't.
No one's going to take that right away from you.
And yeah, whether it's JP Gottrocks getting a little flab sucked away and some Botox in his head and stuff, or whether it's Mrs. JP Gottrocks, you know, getting a little tuck and a little nip and a little lift.
Maybe she's going for that third boot.
See, I was trying not to, and you did anyway.
I can, because I'm Reverbo, and nobody knows except for Dick Cheney who I really am. But, yeah, I mean, it's just like, you can just don't take my health care away. It's these people, it's like, no one's going to mess with you, but quit messing with me. While you're, if you want to, you know, your constitutional ability to die bankrupt and destitute under a bridge because you got cancer, I prefer not to do that, thank you. So, you know, that we seem to have a huge difficulty with the we, me concept here again with all this stuff.
Is this Kierkegaard's I, thou?
It could be. And finally in today's, I had to make a few notes here. Tom Ridge, our friend Tom Ridge.
Yes.
Of Homeland Security. Tom Ridge apparently got that phone call. Have you seen?
Yeah, the one that said, we've got this lovely little Piper Cub we'd love to take you up in, Tom.
That one, or we've got your family here. Do you want to talk to one of them real quick? And, so he is.
We could send you a fingertip, you know.
Yeah, he's backpedaling furiously. And he actually, I didn't know, I better use the word evidently, he said some kind of quote, don't believe what you read, including what you read in my book. He says.
Everything, wow, we mentioned that paradox on the program the other night. Everything I tell you is a lie.
Right. Including, or maybe not including what I just told you. But it's just, you know.
Just out here trying to sell a book, folks. Don't take it seriously.
You wouldn't expect, I mean, you really wouldn't think that the government.
They wouldn't give me the advance unless I delivered the dirt, so I made some up.
I mean, who here believes, who here except for, I don't know, people, radicals who are against freedom, agitators who hate freedom. Who
outside agitators.
White, conservative, I got to get this list right, white, conservative, Christian, Republicans with, I don't know, nine different devastatingly awful and greedy agendas for the country, who would think that they would ever distort or manipulate or prevaricate? Or, not me.
Inconceivable.
It's not in this country. So this is, and then of course they go, you people just hate giving President Bush credit for keeping us safe. I like how they pull that one out. Yeah, that's what we hate doing.
Yeah. I wake up every day. First thing right through my tiny mind is, God, I'm going to have to give Bush credit for keeping us safe again today. God, I hate doing that.
We did. We're just not giving the commander guy all the credit that he thinks he deserves here. And that's what, so anyway, yeah, Ridge is on there. I wish I'd have seen that with Rachel Maddow. I guess she just ripped him just to pieces. Well, but again, like you say, they don't care. Their whole gig is, they go from the gut, no need to use the brain, just go for the gut and just keep using words like terrorism and safety and socialism and
I saw a rerun of that marvelous Family Guy episode the other night, Reverbo, where Lois runs for mayor of Quahog. And and she was talking issues with the crowd, and I think it was Brian the dog who pulled her over and said, Lois, this is never going to work. Little phrases. short phrases, things they can get their heads around. And so she starts out, we need to clean up Lake Quahog. And we're going to have to raise taxes to do it. And boo, boo, boo.
Uh-oh.
And the question comes from the audience, and why do you think that's so? And all of a sudden the light goes on for Lois, and she says, because Jesus wants it.
Oh, she's, there you go.
And they start applauding. And they ask her another question. She says, 9/11. And they applaud louder. You know, again, broad brush satire with close laser beam focus.
No, there's nothing funny about this. This is a documentary. Bob, we were supposed to have annihilated this and eliminated this in that last election.
We didn't. They don't go away. Because we never run them to ground and have done with them.
You and I have talked about it. I sharpened my steaks. I got my garlic ready. I was ready to go. To go house to house. But we were supposed to put an end to this. This wasn't supposed to work anymore. But to go right back all the way to the beginning, and then I will certainly get off the phone to get back to your original thing about we have to be war. It goes very back to the creationists. Right back to these absolute shit brains who want to put Bible study into biology class. And I don't think...
At Smith-Cotton High School in Missouri, it's not even welcome in biology class. Because it's not welcome... Sherry Mabley or whatever her name is. I don't think we want to associate our school with evolution.
Oh, it's not even in science class. Well,
I mean, that's what she said.
Well, she has the brain of an armadillo. I don't know what to tell you here. These things just...
Somebody's going to have to speak up for the armadillos here. You do that again.
I'm sorry. I will not say possum. Because you know how I feel about possum.
Well, lightning would come out of the sky.
But the only reason they ever do this is that they want the Supreme Court to hear it again. These are all PR stunts. I don't think we have to worry about them. That's all they want to do. And all it does is spend a lot of money and hurt the kids. Because they never, ever win these. I mean, maybe it's conceivable one day that somebody like Alito or the Rats might, you know, temporarily lose their mind and... But, you know, it goes back to the thing, if you make extraordinary claims, you've got to have the extraordinary evidence. And even if it's a civil thing, where you just have to have a preponderance of evidence. They haven't won one of these yet. But it's a huge waste of time. And people look like gigantic buffoons. And what do kids think, eventually? You just got to wonder about this. Yeah, kids will follow. You know, if their kid's tattooed dad with his shirt sleeves ripped off tells the kid to go to the town hall meeting, and every time Senator Matthews gets up to speak, you yell, keep the government out of Medicare. And the kid says to dad, well, isn't grandma on Medicare? And dad takes another drink of beer and he goes, just yell it anyway, it'll be great. Well, yeah, kids will do that kind of stuff. But kids are also a lot smarter than people give them credit for, and you just got to eventually wonder. I'm going to wonder when, you know, they start...
You know, where it ends?
Well, watching grown-ups just act like complete fools. I mean, I had Bible class in the 7th grade. I remember it perfectly. For religion class, we studied the Bible. And it was kind of a philosophy class and kind of a history class, and well, it was a religion class. But nowhere did any of that get close to chemistry class or biology.
No, because, those classes ought to have that famous sign hung in them, reality spoken here.
Yeah. Well, perception is reality anymore. It doesn't matter. If you just how many people believe something, it doesn't have to be a fact. How many books you sell. Anyway, make it personal.
Make it personal, Riverbo. Thank you very much. Wonderful call and a whole bunch of stuff to mull.
A whole bunch of stuff. Quit making people upset.
I try. I try to be lighthearted and jolly and happy-go-lucky, but it
Are you still going to your therapist about this?
He threw me out, Reverbo. He said I was a lost cause.
Not to even spend any more money on it, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I'd already put a couple of kids through through school.
Did you read that long but just totally scary article I sent, link I sent you, about how Michael Milken and his friends destroyed that company that was actually onto a cure for prostate cancer?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, well, make it personal. I'll talk to you later.
from one person with a prostate to another person with a prostate, amen.
Yeah, all right, later.
Later, Reverbo. That is Critic at Large, Reverbo, with a broad spectrum approach to this evening's prayer meeting. You want to talk health care? We can talk health care. I don't want to turn into a broken record. At this point, I think our side of the debate knows what needs to be done. It's a question of whether we have the will to do it. And therein, you know, therein lies the inquiry. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Garrett from Las Vegas.
Hey, Garrett, welcome to the program. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to change the subject quite a bit, but apparently the Republicans in Massachusetts, they've contacted somebody already to try and replace Ted Kennedy. Here's the thing. It's Curt Schilling.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Please. The bloody sock. Oh, no. I can't stand a year worth of bloody sock ads.
And the thing is that, well, it's not a shocker. Because the Red Sox posted it to their Facebook account, and it's like, you know, I have it right in front of me. And it's so, you know, he's like, well, I'm not going to make the say yes or no right now. I have to talk to my wife, blah, blah, blah. You know, the standard, you know, my wife, you know.
But Garrett,
talk to the family.
Yeah, but Garrett, what an insult to the people of Massachusetts. If the Republican Party thinks that they can replace Ted Kennedy just by finding some washed-up sports hero.
Oh, well, but the worst part of it is, it's totally within Schilling's character. I don't know if you remember, but he was, after the Red Sox won the World Series in 04, he was going to rush off to, like, New Hampshire to meet up with his old buddy W, you know, and campaign for him. Until all the Red Sox fans in Massachusetts and everywhere else on the planet got mad at him. He's like, oh, well, I guess I won't get everybody mad at me.
Yeah, because at that point in time, it had become a threat to his wallet.
Oh, certainly. Because, I mean, you know, it's like everybody loved him. We were all high on it, you know. He hadn't run his mouth too much yet. So it was like, and everybody was happy, and that would have been a total buzzkill for, you know, everybody seeing how Massachusetts and New England is loaded with people that are kind of a little bit more liberal than George W. Bush.
Oh, without a doubt. And I mean, that's the kind of stuff that would bring back the curse.
I don't know about that. I mean, you know.
Or at least I would find myself as a baseball fan wishing it would. No offense to Sox fans, but I mean, when the whole origin of the curse of the Bambino was that was the stupidest trade ever made in the history of baseball up to that time.
Oh yeah.
And this would have been this would have been stupid on a level with it.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, but then again, remember the Red Sox were calling themselves around that time the idiots. So he would have just. I guess he thought he was going to fit right in to go running off to play with Bush. That, or he thought he was still in Arizona because he was a big McCain supporter when he was pitching down in Arizona.
Very true. Very true.
And he's also from Alaska. We know, you know, know everything about there.
Weird little place, that.
What?
Weird little place, Alaska.
It must be the sunlight or something, because one of my years in college, I had a roommate from Alaska. Oh, my God, he was so weird. He was weird. Scary weird. A little
weird with a capital ooh.
Yeah, I mean, he used to play, like, one of the video games on his computer, which he intentionally gimped because he was that weird for reasons that both me and my roommate, well, one of my other roommates, because, you know, communal dorm, you know, four bedrooms around one common room.
Right,
and all that.
Right.
But yep. Anyway, he, like, played with his computer and totally gimped it. But here's the thing. He'd be playing at it, like, at night, and he'd be, like, making, like, explosion sounds with it, with his mouth. Like a little kid. I swear.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, just like that.
Well, maybe in the frozen wastes of Alaska, that's how you entertain yourself. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But the thing is, what you're talking about, Garrett, is broader than just Alaska and broader than just Arizona. It is a right-wing mindset. It is I will defer, of course, to horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner, but it's a psychopathology, conservatism is. I mentioned it before, but I will never forget way, way, way back when I was on terrestrial radio in the fifth smallest radio market in America. Rick Goodner called in with a list of things and said, Bob, see how many of these things you can relate to George W. Bush. And started reading off this list. I had no idea what the list was. And he said, congratulations, you have just diagnosed the President of the United States as a sociopath. And what he had read me was criteria for sociopath from the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, 4th edition.
Yes.
And he had gone on and applied some of those criteria to so-called conservatives, right-wingers, whatever you want to call them, generally speaking, based upon his experience with them, you know, of course, in Texas. And he wrote a brilliant little book called The Fox Syndrome, Shared Psychotic Disorder, and came up with a whole new diagnosis, but proved rather convincingly that there is something wrong with the mental processes of people who watch Fox, and of course people who watch Fox are predisposed towards so-called conservatism in the first place. And conservatism, Garrett, of course, I put in quotes, because I'm not, you know, you, me, everybody who's got to run a family or you know, make the rent every month, we are conservative by nature. You can't go out and spend the rent money on the lottery, or you will soon find yourself homeless. So there's a certain element of conservatism to us all. But it's not the kind of conservatism that these freaks adhere to or I don't know, religiously devote themselves to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like you said earlier, the lower forms of life holding back the man, you know, that's the type of conservative that they're into. It's not like Teddy Roosevelt, like, oh, here's all these nice places, let's keep them. I mean, you know, Teddy Roosevelt wasn't any sort of an angel. I mean, he liked to military adventurism better than most of the presidents before or since. But the fact is like, he at least knew, yeah, maybe we need to save these places. And, oh, by the way, these corporations, stop it. Just, no. Stop it.
Well, there was a reason that the Sherman Antitrust Act was passed. And now, you know, it's pretty much just a bled-out little Hulk laying on the floor. It's a corpse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and nobody ever really talks about it. I mean, it's, you know, just in the nerd circles, everyone was like, you know, what was it, yesterday or the day before, going, oh, my God, Disney's buying out Marvel Comics. It's like, the concern wasn't about why is Disney getting even bigger, even if it makes sense for them on the pure blind capitalist angle. They were
good God, is Spider-Man going to have mouse ears now?
That was one of the many jokes, actually.
Oh, I'm so proud of myself for being with it.
Well, actually, one of the images photoshopped I saw had Mickey Mouse, like, you know, dressed up as Wolverine, but with no mouse ears. That was kind of, you know.
That's funny. As crazy as it may seem, that would be, if you've got it, if you can find it, shoot me that image via email, because Agnes and the kids are big, big X-Men fans. And Mickey Mouse as Wolverine would probably give them nightmares.
It's just as ridiculously cute as anything Mickey is. I mean, he's got the claws and all that, but, you know, first off, it's the bright 70s one, not, you know, the dark, you know, dark one, and he does from the 80s, and he doesn't have, like, the stubble or the cigar or anything like that.
Okay. The slightly more innocuous Wolverine.
Yeah.
If
closer
you can...
to the cartoons, you know, since they've always had to clean him up. I mean,
right. I've always thought that those characters had so well. The concept of the graphic novel really makes me wonder. You know, Batman was one of the first that really tapped into that kind of thing. That there was a real dark undercurrent, underbelly to being a superhero.
Well, yeah. I mean, and then. Yeah, that's started, I mean, in like the 30s when he started out, I mean, he was packing heat. He didn't have the on no killing clause. I mean, he was packing heat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was hardcore. I mean, you know, granted, giving him the no killing clause is done in such a way that, you know, he's still hardcore. I mean, you know, let's face it, you know.
A little psychotic.
Just a little bit. That's why he's able to beat the Joker, because he's just about as psychotic as the Joker.
Right, and, well, the Jack Nicholson version of the film brought some of that out, and I appreciated that.
Yeah, and then when they did and they didn't dump down when they did the 90s cartoon. I mean, even though that Mark Hamill certainly went pretty over the top at times with it, you know. He's still pretty evil. I remember when they had to censor that Return of the Joker, that Batman Beyond movie, because the Joker went too far. I mean, I had a freaking bootleg VHS of it that I got from one of my friends online, because it was the secret cut that you weren't supposed to see, because, you know, just before it came out, they, you know, Warner Brothers brought out the censored cut and just drove everybody crazy.
Lord.
You know.
Lord.
You know, censored cut, because cartoons are just for kids. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, you remind me of something, because a few days ago I was sent a link to a classic Warner Brothers cartoon. And, of course, I'm a Warner Brothers cartoon junkie. I'm a Looney Tunes fiend. And our pal, I think it was Fancy, sent me a link, because you can find these things online now, and they're legal and stuff, and you can watch them.
Well, sort of.
Okay, well, yeah, I was trying to pretend. But I watched Buccaneer Bunny.
Oh, yeah, that's actually...
You know, the one on the pirate ship.
Well, I think that one's actually on DVD and uncut. I know that...
Yeah, oh, I know that it is, but I sat there and I wrote to a friend and sent the link along and just said, you know, there was too much genius involved in the creation of these, and they will not see him again. And he wrote back and said, yep, because there was something really silly and slapstick for the 7-year-olds, something vaguely sexually innuendo-ish for the 14-year-olds, and then there was wordplay for the full grown-ups like us, and that's why we still love them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why, I mean, I'm a kid of the 80s, so, of course, you know, Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour was, of course, still a fixture on, you know, Saturday mornings, you know, best idea of television ever to stick Looney Tunes on TV. But, you know, and the thing is that they when I was born, they had already censored the crap out of the ones that they were showing. I mean, they'd already...
Yeah, like where the anvil never landed on the coyote, yeah.
But you see the reaction, I mean, the hilarity, you know, of it. And then everyone thought when it changed networks, it's like, oh, well, they'll clean it up. They'll treat it back. They might, you know, remove the censoring that was on CBS. It's like, no, they got even worse. I know. And then it's only because of...
Yeah, because, and see, I always... And that was done by well-meaning people who were mostly, I hate to say it, liberal folk. Who, you know, we can't be showing all this violence on television. And what drove me crazy was the fact that there is no way that a five-year-old watching a Bugs Bunny cartoon can think that it's okay to drop a piano on mommy. Or an anvil. You know, anvils played heavily.
Yes.
On the other hand, however, you know, meanwhile, the five-year-old sits and watches the family TV hours at night with gunfire and real human beings, and not so much.
Yeah, and it was funny because, yeah, you say well-meaning liberals. I still burn whenever I hear the name Ed Markey because he was one of the leading ones. It's like, yes, he's great for net neutrality, but it's like he wanted to get all of the violent cartoons taken off air, and it still burns me to this day.
Oh, and Hillary Clinton getting her maiden forms in a twist over violent video games and so forth.
Oh, that's even worse.
You know, that kind of stuff really, really does bother me. But, you know, maybe that's one of those places where, to the extent that we feel like it's worth our energy, Garrett, maybe that's one of those places where our activism comes into play. If those are the ones where you contact and say, listen, I'm one of your supporters. I'm on your side. I got to tell you, you really swung and missed on this one.
Well, it was especially funny because I remember how everyone railed against the old He-Man cartoon. I'm like, and it's like patently hilarious because you can't call a cartoon animated by Filmation violent. It's not possible.
It's barely animation.
Well, I mean, you know, there was at many points, but I mean, the fact is that some of those episodes were so freaking well written that it's like, holy crap. It's like when I rediscovered it, it's like watching one episode and it's like one of the morals is like the Magna Carta is like, wah, wah, wah? The Magna who? You mean to tell me the first place I heard the words Magna Carta was on He-Man?
Sure.
I'm like shocked.
And I can come up with, if we sat here and just brainstormed it, I could come up with two dozen examples of the same thing happening for me out of Looney Tunes. Especially with classical music. Old actors of that era and things like without a doubt. Just to throw this one out there for consideration for everybody else too, Agnes has a particular fondness for Thundercats. Just so folks can know. Remember the Thundercats?
Yeah, I'm ashamed to admit that I actually did watch it because I watched it a few years ago. Oh.
But, you know, I'm such a yeah. geezer. I go back to the days of Clutch Cargo, okay? And that's oh, man, that's bad. Garrett, you've taken me down a very distant path. let me just bring it back to your original topic. So Kurt Schilling is going to mull this over with his family.
But that's not even the best part. Because this article here, I probably should email that to you as well. This Facebook thing, email that to you as well. It's like, you know, there's the whole quote from him. It's like, this is exact quotes from him. My hope is that we're past that in reference to the fact that he's independent, but he's really Republican. You know, the whole, we've already, you know, like, I'm just independent, but, you know, that means I'm not both sides.
Yeah, that means that I live in Massachusetts and I'm not quite stupid enough to call myself a Republican.
Yeah, and it continues, that we're past the whole R&D thing. My fear is that we aren't. My hope is that we understand now more than ever that we're in a place where we need to put good people above all else. people without ties to special interests, people with liberty and ethics and country first values in office, regardless of the letter.
They're going to work that slogan until they get milk every last PR moment, PR penny out of it. Country first. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, because he posted on that blog of his well before, because, I mean, you know, he essentially retired after the 2007 season. You know, he took his time to, like, March of the following year to do it because he couldn't get any offers anywhere else after the Red Sox were like, no, we're not going to re-sign you, Kurt. You're kind of getting too old. But, yeah, I mean...
And see, that's the other thing, Garrett, when he said, I'm going to have to talk this over with my family. What that translates in political speak to is, I'm going to give this a couple of months and see how much money rolls in on the idea. You know, that's the up the flagpole and see if anybody salutes moment.
Oh, certainly. And probably might listen to hear if the fans rage, because, I mean, you know, let's face it, a good chunk of Red Sox fans would be potentially his constituents, and he's run his mouth so much since he became a Red Sox that he's, you know, there are many people who are turned off to him because he dipped his toe happily into that whole Manny Ramirez mess last season, you know, posting on his blogs how, you know, Manny's a slacker and all that, hating on him, and then, you know, when the Red Sox finally traded him, it was like, ooh, good, let the door hit you where, you know, you got split there.
Exactly, exactly. Well, Garrett, wonderful to hear from you, and I hope we will again soon.
Certainly will.
All right, well, you take care.
Yeah. You too, Bob.
All right, bye now.
Bye.
I love it here. I love hearing from folks from the chat room. That's Garrett. And well, let's no break so far. Maybe we'll hit a top of the hour break for the beginning of the third hour. We got it somewhere along the way. We got to have ourselves a prayer meeting song, don't we? Oh well, no. You know what? Maybe we just hit our break. Yeah, let's do that, and we'll shift gears a little bit and come back. Because back all the way – oh, a quick email, though. See, you bring the sports stuff out, and you get the emails. Our pal Marty says, subject line, now who really thinks Schilling is clean, meaning doesn't appear on the steroid list? Yeah, that would be nice. That would be time for some more lists to come out, fellas, whoever's got it. Be nice if you'd leak Kurt Schilling's name. That would be lovely. Go right ahead. Anytime, feel free. Yeah. And just check an email again before I do or do not decide to go to a break. William, writing in, says, it just continues to get worse. People many years ago used to be content to keep their religion in their church. Fine with me, and it was fine. Now this insanity has spread out and seeped into and infected everything. We never had issues of debate over evolution other than to discuss it in science class. Religion never played a part in this. Now we've got this emerging and ever-growing takeover of so many groups backed by corporations who did their own murder in one form or another by some sort of toxic substance sucked from the earth. Now they continue this by sucking out the brains of their willing and ignorant followers and unleash their toxins of the mind on all of us who just want to breathe. They may be afraid to die, but they are also not afraid to kill. That's one for up on the wall. It's kind of like that bumper sticker I saw the other day. I don't mind Jesus. It's his fan club I hate. Kind of, yeah, huh? Now, I haven't run this tune in a while. It just seems like an appropriate moment for it. Wonderful little band called Guadalcanal Diary. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob, and we'll be back. Light up the phones if you want.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.